Not at this time. The issues that were discussed concern personnel and land acquisition, and there was no indication that there would be any action taken in open session.
Thank you. Council has the minutes from the December 1st meeting. Are there any comments, changes, or otherwise? I will consider those minutes approved. Reading of correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Yes, I have one letter, and it's from the Cape Henlopen High School Girls Lacrosse Boosters, and it's Dear Sussex County Council, thank you for a contribution of $250, and thank you for your continuing support for Cape Girls Lacrosse. It was truly a magical moment in time, and it was signed by Tracy Yeager and Lori Voss, and they have also sent pictures that I'll pass down to you, Mr. President.
Very nice. Thank you. Does council have any correspondence they'd like to share? If not, we'll turn the meeting over to Mr. Baker.
Thank you. The first item we have is a presentation by Ms. Christine Thomas from Preservation Delaware. And Ms. Thomas asked to explain to you the program that she works with, and so I'll turn it over to Christine.
Good afternoon. First of all, I just want to let you know that I'm here just to introduce myself. I'm not asking for anything. I am presently the Southern Delaware field rep for Preservation Delaware and the National Trust. My area is from Dover down. I work with a variety of different groups, and that's what I've been charged with. I work with University of Delaware, I work with historical societies, I work with town government, tourism, and I'm basically I'm one of an outreach position where people can come to and sort of funnel things through, try to facilitate a variety of different things. What you are looking at right now is what I'm working with the Southern Delaware Tourism Office, and heritage tourism is something that I feel passionate about. If you look at the paperwork, Sussex Tourism, as you most of you probably know, creates $750 million annually. The average trip is $365 that's generated. Also, for every dollar spent, it multiplies into $2.22 of sales locally. If you look at the report that's done nationally with heritage tourism, the average heritage tourist spends $994 a trip, creating over $192 billion annually. This is something that I'd like to see Sussex County be able to tap into and get a bigger piece of that pie. Because right now I think our pie has been cut in half, and in some cases it's sort of down to the crust, if that. With that being said, I would also point out that in Lewis, just the small historical society there, they generate about 80,000 visitors annually. That translates into $9 million from little teeny Lewis. And obviously, the beach is there. So what I'm looking at is, in Georgetown and the areas west, how can the profits and the tourism that was created because of the beach be spread out that way. I know that when you see preservation, some of you think that it's just about saving that house and or that property. And I'm here to assure you that that's not the case. I look at the house, absolutely, but I'm also looking at the cultural issues and, more importantly, the economic issues and how that can trickle down to some of these areas. I have been in Laurel, I have been in Seaford. Seaford needs some help. I have been in Ocean View.
Does it need help?
It needs a little help.
I used to live in Seaford, now I live in Ocean View. Everywhere
help.
I go.
Need help.
What kind of help are you referencing?
I will tell you that I don't have a magic pot of money anywhere, but I do have some grants that are available. As you know, money, grants, and other things are slim, and so it's really about getting back to the basics. These people in these communities are doing really wonderful work and trying to create something out of nothing. I do have a specific grant for Sussex County that is for planning. And it's a matching grant, and it goes for historic properties. But the Cannon Maston House, for instance, has been helped by one of the trust grants. There's a variety of other grants. I was just on a conference call this morning that I'm going to be getting information for. They're not huge, but that's the other positive thing about what I do is for a small amount of money invested in these projects, the turnaround is much greater. And again, I'd have you look at Lewis, and they decided to hire someone full-time and what they've been able to turn it into. $9 million for a little area there is pretty substantial. Also look at Milton, also look at Milford and what they've been able to do. And the other thing that I'm trying to do is get these organizations together so they're all on the same page. Because everybody's doing really good work, but sometimes the right hand doesn't know what the left hand's doing. This Thursday, over at the Carville Center, Dr. McGowan has given me a room, and I will have, there's a variety of people that will be there. We're going to be talking about heritage tourism and tax credits. Joan Larrabee will be down from the state office to give a PowerPoint presentation, along with her boss. Tim Slavin will possibly be there. The historical societies that have been invited will all be there, and other groups. Dogfish Head is going to send someone. It's about getting everyone together and not to talk about this for another 6 months or another year. I don't like having meetings for the sake of meetings. So with that being said, I would urge you to sort of take this in. If you have questions, please call me. The number on the card is my cell phone. I'm either in my office in Lewis, they've given me a spot in the Historical Society, or I'm out on the road going to each and every one of your districts and talking to a variety of different people.
We'll open the floor up to the council in a second. Laurel, I believe, has some of the most historic structures on the National Historic Registry, like 800.
Absolutely.
But yet there's absolutely no great tourism industry there. Why is that?
And I will tell you too, talking to Norma Jean, Laurel also has a photographic collection that's in dire straits right now, and that could possibly be a huge revenue source for them. They have done the best that they can. I've been up to the archives and talked to them. I've received some supplies that were free and been able to give it to them, but that's something that's worth saving because that would not only generate income on a number of fronts, but that's part of what I'm coming up against is how to bring this over to the west side.
So it doesn't sound like the identification of the historic properties is the problem. It's the restoration and the promotion. What is it?
It's taking, I mean, we could do another 100 museum houses. That's not going to help Sussex County. It's not going to help the west side or the east side. It's looking at these properties and identifying what can we do with them, bringing in ag, bringing in the arts. I mean, you look at the farmers markets, and they've been extremely successful. It's getting a collaboration of all of these different people together. It's no longer historic, look at this pretty house, let's walk through it and leave. We have to get other people together on that. And ag is a big part of it.
Council, have any questions?
Well, I know in Lewis, Vance, when you go into some of those streets, each house has been had a lot of money spent on them, and they've been really brought up, and the streets are nice. You know, everything's nice, and it's very welcoming and stuff, where the trouble with Laurel is you have one house on this street, you may have another house. They're going to have to create a historical district, and I hate to say it, get a layer of government, you know, overlay to say, here's what you're going to have to do to these houses when you remodel them, make sure they stay in keeping, because if you don't, you lose that continuity or something. I don't know what it is, but I know in a lot of places I've been that they're pretty tough. Newcastle, Delaware, for instance. And, you know, if you put a have to hang a storm door, it's got to be a certain storm door.
And we want to
avoid
that.
A lot of people like that.
We want to avoid that.
I understand.
We don't want to be the paint Nazis. We don't want to come in and tell you have to have a certain shutter in order to do this. There's a reality to this. People have to live. They have to function. And there has to be reality-based concept.
The affluence has gone to a town like Lewis, where you're not getting that same affluence purchasing these properties in a town like Laurel.
I agree with you, but having walked through the streets of Laurel and seen the houses, and I've seen what some of the people are actually doing with their houses, the tax credit is something that's there, it's something that's real. They just have to follow some protocol with that. Believe it or not, the tax credits have worked in Milford tremendously. Okay. Dan Bond has done an amazing job there. He sold his tax credits to Sherwin-Williams. Not everybody's aware of that and what they can do, and so it's part, education is a big part of this position too. But I would urge you to, I just gave you something short and sweet, and there are many components with this. I don't have an answer for everything right now, but there has to be a place to start. And peruse that. Please call me with questions. I'm here to really help you and listen to your concerns. I'm not here to dictate what needs to happen. And that's a big part of my job, is going to these people and listening. And there's a level of frustration right now because they see their towns deteriorating, and that's not what they're used to. Okay. And they remember what it could be. So,
Mr. Cole?
I was just going to say, is Dave, could, on her little gathering out here at the Carvel Center or whatever, is our historical guy, is
yes,
he aware
Mr.
of it?
Parsons.
Mr. Parsons.
Oh, yes.
Is, okay, he'll be there.
Coming.
Okay, good. Okay. Okay. I just want to make sure we're participating.
If I can, I'll try to attend for a few minutes anyway.
Any other comments from council?
Yeah, I'd like to say, Mrs. Thomas, I'm so glad you're in this position, because I think you're going exactly the right direction and doing exactly what I would have asked you to do, and that is to encourage tourism away from the East Coast, because Lewis has got plenty. And then, not that we don't want more in Lewis, but, you know, Laurel, Seaford, those areas have a lot to offer. And I have another question about, If a home or a building has a historical designation, does it not become worth a lot more money? Isn't there some advantage to getting certain kinds of...
There are certain advantages to it. And again, if you look at Lewis and what they've done there, I think that, and in, even in Milton and in Milford, with the downturn, it has affected everybody. But I would say that some of the values of the houses, they look at a variety of things. And obviously, Lewis has the beach. There's only so much beachfront property, but even inland from there, places are still selling. Instead of dropping a huge percentage, it's been minimal. But again, it's much more than saving that house. I think we really need to look at the communities, and tourism's a part of it, ag's a part of it, and real estate and development are a part of it as well. I mean, all those components have to be looked at.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your time, and I really look forward to having the opportunity to talk to you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Baker.
Yes, thank you. The next item are human service programs, and we have several human service organizations who would like to explain their programs to you today. Ms. Gina Jennings, Brad Whaley, Brandy Bennett, myself met with these two organizations last week. First, I'd like to introduce Mr. Jim Martin, who represents the Oxford House, to explain his program.
Thanks,
Jim.
Mm-hmm. Yes, my name is Jim Martin, and I'm the founder and organizer of six Oxford Houses in Sussex County over the last year. Prior to this year, we had two Oxford Houses. We had one in Georgetown, and we also had one in Rehoboth Beach. But in the last year, because of the economic downturn, we found that people are looking for affordable housing. So we figured we'd step up to the plate as a program and try to provide more of these options for people. I could fill the council room today with Oxford House residents, but however, they're doing two very good things. They're working, and they're paying their rent. And that's what Oxford House is all about. It's about people in recovery from substance abuse and drug addiction. They're in recovery. So it's not a house of addiction, it's a house of recovery. And they're out there working, changing their lives around, making a difference, becoming a taxpayer again. And so I'm very grateful for the program, because in my own life, I also was a substance abuser 14 months ago. And I was able to turn my life around because of the Oxford House being there in Rehoboth Beach. So I'm very grateful to God for my recovery and for giving me the opportunity to be of service And through the Oxford House program, I was able to see that I could serve others, even though I was in a very weak position myself. But, you know, the Oxford House is something that we all can think outside the box with, because from my vantage point, I can see how people are really hurting out there. And what we target as a program is we go after people where they have very low income, so they can afford to be at the Oxford House at 100 hours a week. And we actually try to rent properties that are attractive, so when they come for their interview, they can see that the housing is comfortable, it's safe, and it's sober. Most important, it is sober. And what's neat, I did organize a packet. There's only about four things that I want to talk to you about today, and that is what exactly is an Oxford House. There is a packet of information that I put together for everybody here at the council. So, you know, in your free time, you probably don't have much free time, but in your free time, you can take a look through that packet. But real quickly, there are some articles that were written recently in the last year. The Cape Gazette did a nice story on one of the houses. There's also a nice article in the Delaware Beach Life that kind of described the last year as to what we did. Also, what's neat about our program is the statistics are out there on our program. So you don't have to listen to me as, you know, I have a lot of credibility because I'm in the program, but there's a lot of academic studies that have been done over the last 20 years or so. And in 2008, a lot of these statistics were published about our success ratios. And that's what everyone asked me, how effective is your program? So there is a comparison sheet in your packets that shows how cost-effective we are over the long run, and also the fact that we are staying sober through the long term also. And, you know, we need to utilize this model more in the state of Delaware, especially in Sussex County, because I believe that one of the big problems Sussex County has is affordability. A lot of the properties, a lot of people are making about $30,000 or below, and if you're at that level, it's very hard to find an affordable apartment. And one of the things that Oxford House can fill is that need right there when people are really at their most vulnerable. They need a place to stay, and we're not a transient kind of place. You know, you can come in and you can stay as long as you need to, and you can solve some of your personal problems that you're having, and then in about 14 months you'll move on because that's the average stay. So we could be known as transitional. We could also be known as permanent housing, I believe, based on what I've seen out there. Throughout the state of Delaware, I've been working very hard. In Sussex County, we opened up six, but throughout the other parts of the state, we've been working very hard in Kent County, also in Newcastle County. And we've opened, in the beginning of the year, we only had 9 Oxford houses, but now I'm very proud to say that we have 25 that are up and running, and they're paying their rent, and about 80% of the men are working, and they're paying their rent themselves. So, you know, what are the goals that we have for Sussex County over the next few years? I would like to see 100 Oxford houses in Sussex County, because I think the need is out there. If you do the math on, if you're measuring homelessness and trying to figure out that problem out, if you're looking at reentry into society from prison, the incarceration problems that we're having, and also if you're looking at regular detox and rehab, these are the folks that haven't gotten to prison yet, and they haven't become homeless, but they're trying to seek out treatment. If you look at all those populations, there's about 2,000 people in Sussex County that are in need of an Oxford House. So if you look at what we've done so far, we have 8 houses. Each house has about 8 people in it. So that's a, you know, 64 people that we're helping right now. But the need is really thousands in Sussex. Throughout the state of Delaware has recognized our program, and they recently they provided a $50,000 grant to create a revolving loan account. And also, we're not asking for any money. We're not asking for a handout. What we ask for is a hand up. And the government can get involved by providing that hand up when we really need it the most. When we're creating that Oxford House for the first time is when we really need the help. After the Oxford House is created, revenue comes into the house through rent payments, and then we can pay that loan back. And we can show you time and time again how well it has worked in other parts of the country. Knowing how poor Delaware was doing with our program, I went down to North Carolina to figure out what they were doing so well down there, because they have literally, you know, hundreds of Oxford houses working really well. So I wanted to see what the difference was, and I found that the government in North Carolina got involved. Not so much that they were paying the bill, but they got involved in it. They became aware of our program. And because we locate ourselves in the community, we need people that have our back. when we are trying to establish a house, because obviously there's neighbors that don't know what Oxford House is, what it's all about. You know, we're not rapists, we're not sex offenders. You know, we're basically people that are trying to turn our lives around, like myself. A lot of people look like me, and they act like me, and they're trying to be responsible, and they want to get their lives back on track. So, I mean, I'm here basically, I was asked to come in just to give you an introduction, and I don't know exactly how Sussex County, the council members can help, but maybe over the next year, the dialogue has just begun, and we can figure out some kind of partnership. Thinking outside the box right now, I'm thinking a $15,000 loan account that you could set up. And it could be a trial basis kind of thing. We can open up a couple houses and see how well we can pay that back over the next 2 years. $15,000 instead of sending somebody back to prison and costing $30,000, you know, to house and feed that person, let's try to get them into an Oxford House. And that comparison sheet, does everybody have that in their packets? Because you can see the column where it says Oxford House, it's comparing it to traditional ways, like it's called halfway houses. We're not a halfway house, we're a three-quarter house. And the reason we're known as a three-quarter house is because we pay our bills. And if you see the column where it says taxpayer direct cost, the halfway house has $23,000 to $35,000 a year per bed. Our program, $150 to $350 per year per bed. What a huge difference. And in closing, that's where I want you guys to focus, because I know, you know, Sussex County, we're all having the same problem, tax revenue. You know, I'm not asking for, you know, to be inefficient with tax resources. I'm asking you guys to, you know, to give us a chance to show you how cost effective we can be, and we can solve some problems together. All right, so thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Was he here asking for the be on the human service grant list?
No, basically what we would like to do is present for your information is several programs and how they work, and then we have some comments at the end.
Okay. Yeah, I forgot to, if you have any questions, I can answer.
No, that's fine. Okay, the second organization is the what's called the UCount program, and we have with us Ms. Patricia Wolf, who can explain her program.
I'm sorry, I didn't get this to you. Good afternoon. My name is Patricia Wolf, and I am the chief visionary officer of a program called You Count, the One Program. It is a reunification reentry program. I've recently received a Criminal Justice Council grant to start a pilot program here in Sussex Correctional Institute. I have done this program as a pre-pilot program in the Sussex Boot Camp. We are presently scheduled to start the Inside Outside Dads program the beginning to the middle of January. So I'm very excited and pleased to be able to do that program. To give you a little background on what I do, I was a probation and parole officer in Newcastle County for nearly 15 years. I have farmed and raised Clydesdales. I have worked the last 12 years for the boot camp as their aftercare counselor person, and I am a wife of a fallen police officer and also the mother of an inmate. So I consider myself the poster child. In your package, you will see that our staff is hired teachers, we're counselors, we have family therapists that are volunteers, we have technical assistance people. So as far as being technically in place, we're fine. We have a program that is a national program that we're using to work with fathers. It's the National Hood Father Program. And it is a evidence-based program that we are working specifically with fathers. This is a target population of fathers. So that's where the reunification program comes in. I've put together in the packet some as Jim so eloquently provided for you, some statistics in Delaware and national statistics as well. 600,000 inmates are released from prison each year, and within 3 years, 67% to 80% of them are back in for various reasons, not always new charges, but violations and things like that. Delaware runs pretty much true to that same statistic. We know that of all the people that are incarcerated, which is about 6,500 people, that 97 of the Delawareans that are incarcerated will be released to the community. So they are coming. They are our neighbors. They are our workers. And they are actively in our community. 80% of the Delaware male offender are substance abusers. And without treatment, we know that about 70% of them will be repeat offenders as well. Incarceration costs $26,000 to $30,000 a year. Supportive housing, as within Oxford Housing and in the program, the residential program that I have, it runs between, for me, $17,000 a year per person, which is, you know, is a big deal when you can keep people out of prison for a lifetime. And the statistics go on, and I won't bore you with those. Also, in this packet is the most recent total count of offenders by institution. That's broken down in work release, probation, prison, so that you might have a strong idea of where our incarcerated population is. And this is as of December, so that is, you know, the most recent statistics. And also in that packet is, because the ONE program is a residential four-phase program, it's a pre-release, and when they go through the four phases, when they're finished the program, they are released to stabilize housing, whether it's their own home, whether it's an apartment, and some people will actually reunify with their families. The basic thing that we're trying to do is to help fathers recognize that they are unique. What they bring to their children is unique, and only a father can bring to a family. And we have all kinds of information that says father absence in this country is at crisis proportion. So this program is reunifying in that family to bring that father back in as an involved, committed, and responsible father. What we need right now as a program is residence. Residence seems to be the mantra of the day: homes, housing, and a safe and sober environment. And right now I'm running this program as a pilot. I am in the community, but I do not have that residential component, which will help us strengthen that family structure that we're looking for. 50% of our male inmates are fathers. A very important resource. I have just one. If it doesn't have a heartbeat, I can't work with it. So Brandy's going to be nice enough to, this is the National Fatherhood Initiative, which is the government, this is their guru of fatherhood information. And this is their PSAs, and I was just wondering if I could share those with you. They're relatively quick.
They're very short.
15, 30 seconds each.
Oh, those boys are much too much. Those boys are much too much. We got the spirit. We're hot. We can't be stopped. We got the spirit. We're hot. We can't be stopped. We're going to beat them and bust them. Beat them.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life.
Let's get a little bit rowdy. R-O-W-D-Y.
Take time to be a dad
today. One more
today.
Time. All those boys are much too much. Those boys.
Vance had all the daughters. He did a lot of that.
I can tell you from experience that I've always said, well, I'll tell you in a minute.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be
it's
a dad
truth,
today.
I love that.
Vance did a lot of that, too.
I actually always said a good wife tames the beast in a man, and the children actually turn us into human beings. And I'm speaking from experience. I think it's a very good program. What you're attempting to do offers probably some of the greatest promise for men coming out of prison.
Well, we certainly have a valuable resource in our men.
Very good.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Any questions before you leave?
No.
A little background for the council. This part of our agenda kind of came together as a bit of a perfect storm. Mr. Wilson was serving on a panel at CHEERS, the Unite Sussex group put together, that looked at some of the problems with housing and the social ills in the county. Several of our county departments were invited to attend, and housing was there along with others, and they represented us very well. They recognized the need. Ms. Deaver, about the same time, was approached by UCOMP, and Ms. Deaver asked me if that could be something we could look at. And then it came to the administration's attention that the county actually has three houses that are currently vacant that were purchased as part of the airport expansion. And a couple of those houses will be vacant for as much as 7 or 8 years. I think Mr. Baker's going to talk about that a little bit, or Ms. Jennings. So continue, Mr. Baker.
Yes, that is the case. We do have three homes that we have purchased that are needed for the expansion. We purchased them as part of our property purchases for expansion of the airport runway. What we had, our committee had thought, is that perhaps maybe these homes, at least in some short-term, I mean a few years basis, could be used for a program to help people in the county that need help. And so for that reason, as Mr. Phillips noted, we interviewed these two organizations. And if the council doesn't have any objections, we could follow up a little further and do some additional research to determine how, if any of those properties would fit with these programs.
How long have they been vacant at this point? Those
at
homes?
It varies. One actually has been used by the county for some storage that it was for records, and we had to keep the heat on.
Okay.
So
that requires
less infrastructure improvements. Another is an older house from built in the 40s Our buildings and grounds people indicate that there is some work there, for instance, with a septic system and possibly with the heat and the air conditioning. And then the other is a small home, only a two-bedroom home, that was lived in, I'd say, maybe 4 years ago, something like that, 3 or 4 years ago.
Ms. Jennings and Ms. Bennett took the initiative to work on this. Ms. Jennings, have you anything for council?
Yes, I have. Printouts of these houses and the details on them for you.
Okay.
Have them to look at. And just like Mr. Phillips said, two of them are available to probably about 2020, mm-hmm. and one probably only 2013.
Now, Dave, where I see on the first one, I see estimated cost to fix $3,000. Is some of this stuff things we can do in-house with our maintenance people and some of the staff we have in these different departments, like Mike's department or whatever?
Possibly some of it.
Mm-hmm.
But
as opposed to
when we get into heating and air conditioning and septic, that sort of thing, most likely we would probably contract.
Right, but some of the stuff,
yeah,
we will try to do in-house to keep our costs down.
Yes.
Okay.
We could do this on a trial basis, perhaps.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I guess if the council has no objection, we will, through consensus, suggest to administration to continue to work on this.
Yes.
It may be something that we'll have to look at zoning issues, depending on the type of program the suggestion by the Oxford House that they are a type of organization that would repay us. You know, we are certainly looking for economic opportunities. There's no reason why we shouldn't have a social component in this government as well, mm-hmm. as long as it's revenue neutral, if possible. Does council have any other comments? Ms. Deaver?
I was very impressed with the report that we got from the committee, Brandy Bennett and Ms. Gina here. I'm very professional people. I'm just very impressed. And I think they did a wonderful job, and I'm very interested in pursuing this.
Any other council members? Mr. Wilson?
I believe the Weber property is already being used. I think it's a library. Bethany Beach has got it full of books in it.
We did use that for storage of books, yeah.
Excuse me.
But the South Coastal Library is now
open.
Being used, or is now back up and running.
They've taken this out? They've so, taken, has yes. it cleaned this house out?
Well, it might not be cleaned
be,
out totally. But.
Yeah,
there's just one room's used for just equipment and computers, but everything else is clear. I've checked the house.
Okay. All right. Thank you all very much. Thank you, Ms. Bennett, Ms. Jennings, Mr. Baker.
Okay. Next item is the sewer and water amnesty program proposal. And as you may recall, at the September 22nd council meeting, the county council approved some proposed collection practice improvements for property taxes and sewer and water charges. We have interviewed and hired a collection manager who will begin work next month to oversee and better coordinate our collection efforts. Another one of the recommendations was to try an amnesty program for delinquent sewer and water customers who pay their accounts off in full within 30 days. And I'd like to introduce Ms. Patty Fawcett, who will explain our proposal.
Good afternoon.
Patty is Director of Utility Billing Division that handles all the sewer and water billing.
You did get your packet from Dave, Mr. Baker, and it has in there the insert. The actual insert that we're going to send out is going to be on yellow paper, so it's going to stand out a little bit better in the bill. And the bill is also going to be on yellow paper. And I have a sample. This is actually a really bad copy because I tried to take a copy of an actual bill and it bled through because I didn't want an actual name, somebody's name on there. But it's just a sample to show that we have the amnesty program eligible on here. It says to see, insert, call for details. It says amnesty program here. The reason we took all these precautions because we do have some extra processing to do. When the payments come in, I have Bonnie Smith here from Data Processing, Director of Data Processing, and her department has done a wonderful job trying to get this all together because this looks simple, but this was a lot of work. I think she'll agree with me there. We did also take your advice, and we've ordered a stamp for the outside of the envelope, which is not here yet, but it should be any day. It's on its way. That will stamp the outside of the envelope so that they'll see. We're actually sending all the delinquent bills out first. We're trying to send them out. Our goal was the 28th or 29th, and I think we're well on track for that because they're ready to print right now. And my papers here, the only thing I'm waiting on is my pink envelopes, which are also another going in for the delinquent accounts. We've done everything we could to make them, to spot them when they come in. They do have deadlines, different deadlines, and the reason for that, we wanted to give them as many opportunities to pay by in whatever form of payment they wanted to pay us, but we also have to make sure that the funds are cleared because undoing the little program that we have to do to take 50% of the interest off is a lot more work than taking it off the first time. So.
And if you said it, I apologize. How much money total are we talking about?
And interest that could be written off?
No, and total delinquency.
Total delinquency is about $1.8
million. 5,100?
About 8%. It's about 8% of our total outstanding bills. And it's about 5,000 accounts out of about 66,000 customers that we have. 66,000 accounts, we have about 5,000.
Does that seem like a lot? I don't know. Is there any kind of rule of thumb on delinquent accounts on big sewer districts like this?
It is substantial. It
seems like a lot.
However, if everyone who was delinquent paid, this would result in a savings of about $218,000 in the interest cost. So we're trying to encourage payments. Some of the districts have more of an issue than others.
And let me just mention, too, that out of those 5,000, they're not all a lot delinquent. You've got, if they're even one quarter delinquent, they're in that number. And there are several that are one quarter delinquent. I mean, we sell. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like it's a program that is certainly well overdue, and I appreciate you taking the time to work on it.
We've been doing a lot with repayment agreements, trying to get people to pay that way, and we've a lot of phone calls. And that is another issue, too. One of our main problems is, unlike the phone company or the electric company, we don't get the phone number right up front. So we've tried to track these people down. If we have a bad address, the deed comes in, it's got a bad address, you don't know where they live, you don't know, you're trying to find them on the white pages, it makes it a little more difficult to collect when you don't have a direct contact with the customer. So we have been trying to get better at that. And when we do make contact, we make notes and we keep track of it better that way, too. Mm-hmm. So.
Very good. On a similar note, the council, through the administration, tasked the constable's office to aggressively go after collecting delinquent taxes, mobile home park delinquent taxes. And to date, over $1,060,000 has been collected through the constable's office. So this council is taking very seriously these delinquent accounts, and I appreciate everything you all are doing.
Good deal.
Does the council have any comments?
Is there not a way to turn this water off or shore it off?
A way to turn it off? I believe we're allowed to turn it off.
Public health issue.
Yeah.
Backs up in the house.
I have several people that ask to do that. They just want to turn it off. I don't want this service anymore.
Any other questions? Thank you, Ms. Fawcett. You're doing a great job.
Huh. Kind of system deal. If you don't pay, you still get service.
Oh, Mr. President, I have a question maybe for Mr. Baker.
He gets questions.
What if they want to charge it to their credit card?
We do take credit cards.
Interesting. Yeah. Does it help to encourage that?
It does say here on your deadlines required, you say to expedite your payment, a cashier's check, cash, or money order, you maybe should put in there, or credit card.
That's down below.
Oh, that is down below. Okay.
Yes. And the reason I put that cash, money order, or credit, or the, what's the third one on there? Cash, money order, cashier's check, is because those are guaranteed funds, and that gives them the longest period to pay. They have until February 1st to pay, and if they use one of those three forms. Mm-hmm. If they want to use a personal check or a business check, we just need to have it a little sooner because it has to clear the bank before we use our program to write it off. Mm-hmm.
And
we're going to actually put it in our account first, wait 10 days, and then make sure
it's
clear.
You could get a charge back on the credit card.
Card, you can, and that's why we also ask that one to be the deadline's January 19th for those two forms of payment.
Because we know they charge a lot more interest than we do.
That's right.
Yes.
Thank you, Ms. Fawcett. Mr. Baker, administrator's report.
Yes, the first item is H1N1 vaccination as per the attached press release. Free H1N1 vaccinations are available to individuals who are at risk. They're available at Dell Tech in Georgetown December 16th from 1 p.m. to 8 p.m., as well as by appointment. Emergency Operations Center, Uninterrupted Power Source Project. We are pleased to inform you that the Uninterrupted Power Source Project is complete at the county's EOC. This project will enable a seamless transition of power during power outages to our generator system. This project was funded with Homeland Security monies, and the cutover occurred last week. Paramedic Station 102, we are pleased to notify you that Paramedic Station 102 on Sycamore Road in Laurel is now operational. The new station replaces the previous location at the Laurel Fire Department. This will be a permanent paramedic station owned and operated by the county. Open house and dedication will be held at 10 a.m. on Wednesday, January 6th. Invitations will be forthcoming. Media are also invited to attend. Michael Jose, we regret to inform you that Michael Jose, a county employee in the Building Code Department, passed away on December 10th. Mr. Jose worked for the Sussex County Council as a building code inspector since February 3rd, 2003. He was well-liked by his fellow employees and very knowledgeable regarding the commercial and single-family building code. He will be missed by his fellow employees, family, and friends. Sussex County Dog Licensing Program. Sussex County Dog Licensing dog licenses are available now for 2010. Ms. Pam Fosnot will be handling questions and monitoring the licensing program for Sussex County. Attached is a brochure developed by staff to make available at public information locations the licensing program. Please contact 855-7380 for any questions you may have. We do want to wish to thank our county staff for their hard work on this program to provide licenses in-house. And as you can see, what we are going to do is offer these brochures in these type of plastic containers at various locations and hardware stores, libraries, cheer centers, wherever, whoever will take them, and try to encourage people to license their dogs. The application form is part of the form, so they can send that, mail that in if that's the simplest way, or of course come in here in person if they'd like. And we will also, our online system will be up and running very shortly, which will enable people to obtain their licenses online with credit cards, too.
Any questions for Mr. Baker? Anything else, Mr. Baker?
Just the holiday schedule.
Yes, Mr. Wilson, go ahead.
On this dog control, I've had some calls on what are we going to do about the cats.
What'd you tell them?
I told them we took the same... We just took what the state gave us, and we didn't need no more.
All right, moving right on.
The only other item is the holiday schedule. The county council will not meet next Tuesday, December 22nd or December 29th for the Christmas and due to the Christmas and New Year holidays. The next regular council meeting will occur on January 5th at 10 a.m. The January schedule also begins to change back to the 10 a.m. meeting time. County offices will be closed December 24th and 25th and January 1st due to the holidays. Thank you.
Any questions for Mr. Baker? If not, we'll turn to Mr. Hicken.
I'll be quick. I didn't bring all my friends with me this time.
No.
Thank you.